The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Pandemic 2020, an AM 970 The Answer special report with your host, Joe Piscopo. Brought to you by Balance of Nature, helping your body heal itself.
This week, it's going to get bad.
Well, we've never had a threat like this, and the coordinated response has been, there are a number of adjectives to describe it. Impressive, I think, is one of them.
Stay on top of this fast-breaking story. What's going on with work, travel, medical, food, real estate, exercise? Get the latest breaking news right here with your host, Joe Piscopo.
Good morning, Joe, on the radio. What an hour we have for you today. I'm just so proud to have Dr. Alan Katus coming in, taking time, the president of Touro College and New York Medical College. Anything, you know, I worry about you. I love you. You're part of this family. And I always say every morning we gather around our virtual kitchen table and hash through the days and put all the hate aside, all the partisanship aside, all your politics aside. Please, please, you know, we'll get fired up time to time. But right now we're just here to help. We're just here to help as we get through this. And I want you to remember this as we move on, and we will move on, and we will get there. But you have to look back and think how we joined together. You know, remember 9/11, everybody joined together, was great. And then everybody forgets, right? And then we go about hating this and yelling at each other. That, let's put all that aside. Let's all join together. And if you have any concern now, as we hunker down for just a little while longer, Dr. Katus is standing by for you. 877-970-2999. Jack Carr, former Navy SEAL, will join us. And Fred from Michaels of Brooklyn will have, Michaels of Brooklyn have been helping out first responders. I want to get that on the air as well. But right now, let's go. Turn to our friend, Dr. Katus. Doctor, thanks so much for joining us. I know how busy you are. You're very kind to take this half hour, this 20 minutes, and help our listeners feel a little bit better about what's happening. And how are you holding up, Dr. Katus, if I may ask?
I'm doing fine personally. My family's healthy. It's a tough time for colleges and universities because our students are going through so much. We're trying to do our best to support them, but it's a challenging time.
It is, but you're doing everything remotely at Touro College, correct, Doctor?
We are doing everything remotely. We've been able to transition everybody effectively into remote learning. There are a few people where technical skills are being trained, where we're still working out how we're going to finish their semester off. But it's more the economic uncertainty and the uncertainty about the future that's affecting them. And obviously, a lot of back going to college is the relationships and the activities, and that's being lost.
Yeah, it's very true. My daughter even said it. She's in school in New York, and I thought she'd be glad that she was out of class. But she goes, you know, Dad, you miss it because you want to have a hands-on approach, you know, talking to the professor. So your point is well taken, Dr. Katus. And are you convinced, by the way, that we have reached indeed the apex in New York?
I think we've reached the top. We haven't seen things start to get better yet. It's not getting worse, but we haven't seen it to start to get better. But that's always the way it works with epidemics or pandemics. You sort of reach a peak and then things begin to get better. So I'm hoping that we're going to see the downside very soon.
Yeah. Is the governor doing the right thing by keeping the state closed until May 15th?
I think so. There have been so many new cases in New York. Even as we say we've maybe stabilized, there's still hundreds of deaths a day. There are lots of new patients coming to emergency rooms. We need to make sure that we don't have continued transmission to save lives and to avoid the healthcare system being overwhelmed even more.
Yeah, so we talked about this before, just to reiterate, waiting for a vaccine. And the vaccine takes, and I saw Johnson & Johnson today working on a vaccine. Everybody's working on a vaccine. Because so many people are working all around the world on this vaccine, will we see it sooner than that year and a half that I keep hearing about, Dr. Katus?
I think probably the earliest we're going to see it is about a year. Johnson & Johnson's work on the vaccine, from what I've read, they're not even going to have it ready till the summer, and then they have to start doing safety testing and other testing. I think my hope is that we have effective therapies which will change our relationship with COVID-19 well before a year plus from now. So there's a chance that over the summer, or by the summer, I should say, not over the summer, but by the summer, we'll have at least therapies that can help. And you know, there was a report last night about also not a control trial, but a study on the Gilead Sciences drug, remdesivir, that was very encouraging. There's still some work. There's work being done on some of the things we've talked about before, the combination of hydroxychloroquine and a Z-Pak, together with zinc. There's work being done on that. So I'm hopeful that some of that yields positive results well before we have a vaccine ready, and that could change the way we're able to go around. If we feel we can treat this and dramatically decrease the mortality, then we'll be in a position to more rapidly release restrictions.
Dr. Alan Kadish was. See, I like this thing we got going on. I just, me and Frank go over the whole questions. What are we going to ask the doctor? And by the way, you can call 877-970-2999. But I was just going to ask you about that remdesivir. And that we've heard about that last night. So some of these things, I know how tough this virus is, how voracious it is. But there's some promising things showing up, you're telling us, doctor.
There are. We have brilliant scientists around the world working on new therapies, but the bottom line is we don't have anything yet that we know works. So the strategies, what are the strategies for dealing with this? So we have vaccine. We know that that's going to happen. Some very, very good companies working on that, very good scientists working on that. It's going to happen, but 12 to 18 months away. We have some therapies going on right now that hopefully in the next weeks to months will show some promise. I don't expect a magical cure, but I'm expecting that some of these will show some promise, although we're not there yet. And then we have the possibility of using better testing to be able to get back, not to complete normalcy, but to get a lot of things restarted, get some stores open, get some workplaces open, with better testing. And those are the three kind of approaches I think we can use to accelerate the process. And there's progress on all those. I'm not as excited about the progress on testing as I'd want to be.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that, Dr. Kadish. I talked about Congressman Gottheimer on the show as well. We're all concerned. Now, here you got Rutgers University, big shout out to Rutgers in my home state of Jersey, doing a great job, coming up with a saliva test. It can't get any simpler than that, really. Why can't we just, and like Congressman Gottheimer was saying, in the greatest country in the world, why can't we just churn these tests out at a faster pace?
So it's a good question. And I think there are basically two answers. One is we've had a lot of very smart people and companies that have devised tests. We need to test them to figure out how well they work. What works well in the laboratory, usually we take months and months and sometimes years to translate that into a product where we make millions of that product. We're trying to shorten that timeline dramatically right now, to the point where we do it very quickly, which means not that anybody's doing anything bad, but we don't have time to validate things. So there are dozens of tests that have been made available right now, including the one from Rutgers. And what we need to do now is, in my mind, have a national strategy to very quickly validate those tests and find a group of them that work and get them out there as quickly as possible. I think that we need a better national strategy to do that.
Yeah, well said. 877-970-2999. Doc, I got to ask you, the governor told us initially that New York needed at least 40,000 ventilators. Not only did we fall short of that, but New York is actually donating ventilators, 100, by the way, Governor Cuomo just saw, to Jersey as well. And the beds in the Javits Center, the 2,900 beds in Javits Center, the Mercy, the U.S. Navy ship, the Mercy coming in, not, you know, with 20 people on it. Why do you think these models were so inaccurate?
So I would say there are two things. One is don't underestimate the benefits that we've had from the compliance with social distancing. I think on radio shows, on television shows, the governor, everyone has come together, the federal government, everyone's come together and said, you got to work on distancing. And sure, everybody holds out the few cases where people have broken that. But by and large, you look around New York City, places that usually are mobbed are empty. So we've done a good job, not a perfect job, but a good job, all of us together, decreasing the risk of COVID-19 transmission by distancing. The other thing is this. We're learning about COVID-19 every day. One of the problems we've had is all this started, you know, December. The information didn't really get out of China such as it was till January. We're learning about this every day. Yeah. And the models were designed for the worst-case scenario because when you're a governor or a public health official, you have to plan for the worst-case scenario so you're not falling short. We didn't get to the – it's pretty bad. Don't get me wrong. It's pretty bad, yeah. But it's not the worst-case scenario. But that doesn't mean that it was a mistake to plan for the worst-case scenario.
Exactly. Better safe than sorry. Understood completely.
Right.
Hey, the nursing homes, Dr. Kadish, oh, my gosh, we had a horrible situation in Jersey, in Andover, New Jersey, where they're just – the bodies were piling up, and then they called late, and it's just a horrible situation. I mean, for listeners who may be listening in nursing homes now, what can they do to reduce the chance of infection?
What they've got to do is just follow the social – isolation rules and do the best they can. Nursing homes are the most vulnerable places. And why is that? First of all, we know people who are older are at much higher risk. Higher risk for getting it and higher risk for dying when they get it. So that's the first thing. They're at higher risk. In a nursing home, you've got lots of people close together. So if anybody gets it, you get it. And finally, there's a shortage of staff. And that extends all over the place. And some of these nursing homes have tried to get more staff to be safe, and they just can't do it. So you put all those three things together, you end up with a terrible situation vulnerable old people, we just are just having terrible things happen. And I have no magic solution other than try to get the staff in, continue with social distancing, not have people visit, which, of course, is a terrible thing when you've got people in nursing homes. But you've got to do whatever you can. And I think the social distancing things have definitely helped. We're doing a good job. Not a perfect job, but we're doing a good job, and we just got to keep working at it.
How about staying outside? You know, I saw something from that Spanish flu from 1917, 1918. They put people outside in the sun, and that killed the virus. And then I read about the virus, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Kadish, that I read about the voracity of this COVID-19, that it will, if it's enclosed in a space, it will come back and get you again. So maybe should you open a window? Should you keep keep the room a little airy maybe?
So I don't know that we really know that. And I don't know that we really know that the sun killed the flu virus.
Right.
I think what we do know is that if you're next to other people, you're better off being outside than inside because the virus will spread in many places rather than sticking around and just going back to you. So given everything else being the same, there's less risk of transmission when you're outside. But of course, that whole changes, that equation all changes if other people are around when you're outside. So it's a fine balance. I think the current recommendations, which are to wear masks and stay away from other people, but you can go outside if you need to. I think those are the right recommendations.
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Alan Kadish. 877-970-2999. Forgive me. I see the phones, but I don't want to hog all your time, but this is such an interesting time medically. I like the food we get. I worry about everything because I'm a father. Can the virus live on food in the refrigerator? Broccoli, for example, is sold in open bins, you know? How dangerous is that, Dr. Kadish?
So there seems to be very little risk of food transmission, particularly if it's broccoli. The heat definitely destroys the virus. So anything you cook will take care of things. But even otherwise, there seems to be very little risk with food transmission.
And just to say, because I just saw the FDA just now, just a second, put out saying, oh, you don't have to sterilize your groceries when they come in. You, if you get the groceries delivered, you don't have to sterilize them from the store. I got spray. I'm sterilizing everything. I'm leaving them out for 48 hours. I mean, better safe than sorry, like we keep talking about. Number one and number two, Dr. Caters, before we let you go, and forgive me for hogging your time this morning, but the black light, that black light that's supposed to be, you know, that black light that's supposed to kill the virus, does that work? Should you sterilize your groceries, and does the black light that you're supposed to wave a wand over the groceries kill the germ indeed?
So I don't think you need to sterilize groceries. I think there is some risk of packaging on the outside, particularly if the person who delivers them or the person who packs them is infected. So I think it's what we do, and I'm not telling you there's any evidence for this, but we do is we'll make sure that the bags and the boxes stay outside, and we take the stuff out from inside and try to do reasonable things with it, and I think that's a reasonable approach.
And then you think that black light that I see advertised on Instagram, is that kind of a gimmick, or does that actually dissolve the virus?
So calling it a black light is a little nonspecific. We know that ultraviolet light can take care of killing the virus. Whether a particular product which you get will have enough energy to actually do it, I can't say that.
Yeah, just in case. Dr. Caters, I tell you, we're going to let you go because we appreciate your valuable time and joining us like that. There's so many questions, and if you'd be so kind to come back again. But thanks for your time. Thanks for being on the front line, Dr. Caters. And our love to everybody at Touro College. Dr. Caters is the president of Touro College and New York Medical College. We'll get through this soon enough, and we appreciate your fight, doctor. And please, again, join us again and have a great weekend.
Thanks so much, Joe. Take care.
Thank you, Dr. Alan Caters. We have got like 15 more questions for the doctor. And not that I'm a hypochondriac or anything. Oh, I could worry about it forever. But we will get there. So help me God, we're going to get there. We got this, you know. And we want to make sure we leave time for Mr. Jack Carr serving this country valiantly as a Navy SEAL. We're going to see how our enemies are watching America's response to the outbreak. And Fred from Michaels of Brooklyn, you don't want to miss that. And right now, Debbie Duhaime at 922 on AM 970, The Answer.
Hey, Joe, we do have a lot of action on the roads, essential workers going to and from work. We thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts for all that you're doing. Let's go out to the LIE eastbound right by Casino Boulevard. Be careful there. Three lanes blocked with an accident, only the shoulder getting by. So that's the LIE east at Casino Boulevard. A collision westbound LIE slowing down with the rubbernecking through Casino Boulevard as well. Van Wyck northbound ramp to the Grand Central Parkway. That's construction going on until further notice. Eastbound Staten Island Expressway. Stop and go traffic getting out toward Highland Boulevard. That's some ongoing construction, so definitely watch out for that as well. Getting out toward the Verrazano Bridge. Taconic northbound the ramp into 52. They're doing some road work as you get right into East Fishkill. And watch for a slight delay here on 95 South and exit 17 in Westport with construction. Partly cloudy today, high of 52. You now know where not to go. I'm Debbie Duhaime with Joe Piscopo. AM 970, The Answer.
Balance of nature. Changing the world one life at a time.
Balance of nature, no question. Your product's a great product. I mean, it's very, very good. I own a couple of businesses, so I'm on the go a lot. There's no doubt that the energy level increased. And again, your product is very, very good. I couldn't live without it, to tell you the truth. I thank you for your time. Thank you for the information. And when you talk to Dr. Howard, give him my best and tell him he's got a great, great product.
Don't wait to see what getting over 10 servings of whole fruits and vegetables every day can do for you. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-222-2000. 248-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com. Again, that's balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code THEANSWER.
Hi, AM 970 listeners. Steve Adubato here. On One-on-One, whether it's politics, pop culture, business, or Broadway, we've got the conversations you want to hear.
There is always something to learn.
Do you enjoy talking politics?
No.
That's a good question. High five.
So check out my show, One-on-One, weeknights at 7 p.m. on NJTV and 12:30 a.m. on WNET 13 and online on NJ.com.
Hey, it's Joe Piscopo. Catch my friend Steve and his great lineup of guests every weeknight on One-on-One with Steve Adubato.
Tomorrow from 10 a.m. to noon, Douglas Elliman CEO Dottie Herman and the best team in real estate radio will be answering your real estate questions live. No issue is too challenging or goes unanswered. It's Eye on Real Estate with Dottie Herman. Got a question? Call 866-970-9622. That's 866-970-9622 tomorrow morning at 10 on AM 970, The Answer.
Dan Proft warns of health care going forward.
A depressed economy will lead to a much poorer and sicker society, talking about saving lives on an ongoing basis. You know, the lives of people who have heart disease, who have cancer. What is the health care system going to be like for all of us on a go-forward basis if we crater our economy?
The Dan Proft Show, weeknights at 9 on AM 970, The Answer. Listen to us online at AM970TheAnswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or radio.com.
Good morning, Joe on the radio. By the way, talking with Dr. Cadiz, we appreciate that. Pandemic 2020, that was sponsored by Balance of Nature, helping your body help itself. So we appreciate Dr. Cadiz, and we love Balance of Nature. Hey, let me tell you about the Atlantis Yacht. Oh, we love the Atlantis Yacht. We were just out there not too long ago, out there, right there, and you go on the East River, you go on the Hudson, and you go out there and you see the beautiful, you see New York from the water, man. Nothing like it. Captain Fred and New York Cruises, the step, they go over and above, beyond, with every detail. Your clients will love it. If you have a party, you have a corporate party, right? You have a bar mitzvah, birthday party, retirement. Hey, you want to make a proposal? You got to do it on the Atlantis. This is a great, beautiful yacht. It's a mega yacht, right? The food is spectacular. And I just love when you forget about New York and you're locked in. And especially now after all of this, you know, what a great way to get out would be on the Atlantis with Captain Fred and get to see the iconic, structures of the Brooklyn Bridge and the World Trade Center, you know, and certainly, like I always tell you, about the Statue of Liberty. Don't forget Ellis Island, by the way, which are in New Jersey. I'm just saying. But you go by and you could see where your family came to America, you know. So go ahead and start planning your standout event today, whether it's a corporate event, again, wedding, engagement party, retirement party, whatever it is. You want a first-class experience aboard the Atlantis with Captain Fred. New York Cruises, they're ready to schedule a private viewing of the Atlantis when you're ready. 212-633-1231. 212-633-1231. Mention AM970, The Answer, for a free menu upgrade. 212-633-1231. Or visit, please, NewYorkCruises.com.
Dennis Prager, coming up at 1. The Answer.
Uomo bello, c'è la luna, brille, strette, strette, con butto belle, faste già, sotto il cielo di Roma.
Dino Paul Crescetti, thinking about Italy, listening to Dino.
Down each avenue or via street or strada, you can see him disappearing two by two on an evening in Roma. Do they take him for espresso? Yeah, I guess so. On each lover's arm, a girl I wish
Christ.
You got to love it. Dean Martin right there. Thinking about, I know, we're going to go on the Perillo Piscopo tour. Don't worry, we're going to get there. I promise we'll be over there together, and we'll be thinking about it, going, hey, remember that COVID thing? And we wish all the best to our brothers and sisters and families in Italy, and we will be over there soon enough. Speaking of which, we love Michaels of Brooklyn. They're doing a great thing, and Michael, the Michael of Michaels of Brooklyn, kind enough to join us live on the air. Hey, Michael, how you doing, my friend? How you guys holding up?
Joe, we're hanging in there, Joe. We're doing good, though. We're cranking out the sauce still and trying to keep those supermarket shelves full.
Yeah, we
but
love
things
it,
are
man.
Going, you know, we're fighting the fight. We're hanging in there.
You know what? And you're doing great. And you're helping out first responders as well. I mean, and God bless you for doing that, Michael. First and foremost, everybody's okay. Mom's okay. And dad's okay. And everybody's okay, right? Healthy and everything?
Everyone's great. Thank you. We're so fortunate that everyone is still healthy and we're working. And so we just want to say thank you to all the people who, you know, who are out on the front lines, like you said before. And we're doing a little Instagram promotion where every couple of days we'll have some, you know, if you're following us on Instagram at Michaels of Brooklyn, you tag three or however many essential workers you want. Okay. And we randomly select people to have some free dinners. They got to come pick them up. Or we do other ones where we send out cases of our sauce.
Oh, that's great, Michael. So, again, you go to Instagram, which is great, and go to Michaels of Brooklyn. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. How can we get in touch with him?
Just go to @ Michaels of Brooklyn on Instagram.
Okay.
And you tag some essential workers who you think would appreciate a great dinner or a case of sauce sent to the house.
This is spectacular. Thank you for doing that. And then, you know, we've been telling everybody. Nah, listen, you guys are always stepping up, man. Appreciate you've been there for all those years over there. And now I love that we could, if we could order, we could place an order for pickup as well. And we appreciate that service. You just did that a few weeks ago, and we love you for doing that too. So somebody could call and they could, order something for pickup at Michael's of Brooklyn, Michael.
Absolutely. We're running out to the car, or we even started delivering now locally and, you know, in the neighborhoods right around the restaurant.
God bless you. Let me give you the number if I can. Yeah. And again, this is like a public service for Michaels of Brooklyn. We love Michaels of Brooklyn. This is family right now. This is family. It's got nothing to do with sponsorship.
Keep everybody well, Joe, during this time. You know what I mean?
I'm telling you, 718-998-7851. 718-998-7851. We appreciate it, man. And now you just got married. And now I'm telling you, are you okay being quarantined?
Talk about throwing yourself into the marriage life, right? I'm getting to know marriage real well.
Yeah.
No, it's great. It's great. It's the perfect time to be a newlywed in quarantine.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. No, she's beautiful too, man. And you're such, Michael. I gotta tell you. You know, I talk to you like I'm your dad, and I love Fred. I love your dad. And your uncle Johnny is great. I love it. But you are such a good kid, and you've had such success over there. No, it's great, man. And tell us before we let you go, and thanks for letting us know. First responders, it's at Michaels of Brooklyn on Instagram. I'm going to give you the number one more time: 718-998-7851. You call Michaels of Brooklyn if you're close by. If you're infirmed or something, Michael is telling us now they will run the food over. If it's local, Avenue Arden and Nostrand in Brooklyn, they'll run it over to you. If not, you could pick up the best cuisine from one of the five best Italian restaurants in the United States of America. Michael, you remember when it was a pizza place. Give us your memories as a child growing up in that area of Brooklyn,
well,
New York.
The pizzeria was actually way before my time, but because my grandfather got rid of the pizzeria in about the late 70s. So I was around for the catering hall and the restaurant for the most part.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we started as a small little place on the corner, and now, you know, we've expanded to the whole block. No more catering hall, the sauce factory, the restaurant. I mean, it's going great.
It really is to one of the five best Italian restaurants in the country. But you know what? You remember that.
Yeah.
You keep your heritage alive. I see you walking around. And you go in the kitchen and you cook, do you not, Michael?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right now, it's just me and my uncle in the kitchen cooking and a couple more guys.
I love it. Oh, we love it. Listen, you are everything that's great about our heritage, Michael. God bless you. And God bless
your
family.
That means a lot.
nah, man, we love you and we appreciate it and your family now. And thank you for stepping up at this crazy time. We're gonna get through this, Michael. We're gonna get through this.
We'll be all right.
Yes, we appreciate you helping. Give everybody our best and give everybody our love, if you would, Michael. And we appreciate it very much. All right. All right, my friend. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Joe, for everything you do, too. Thank you.
All right, man. All right. Love you guys. Take care, man. Take care. There's a Michael Cacace from Michaels of Brooklyn. So if you go to at Michaels of Brooklyn on Instagram, and if you need, you let them know how many first responders that you have that you want, they can send sauce over, whatever, they can give you. But, you know what they will have to choose which one they are able to help out. Okay. And also, if you're close by and you can't get out and you're by Avenue R and Nostrand, in the great borough of Brooklyn, New York, Michaels of Brooklyn will deliver the food to you. How about that? In the meantime, 718-998-7851. You can place an order from one of the five best Italian restaurants in the United States of America. This is a great family. This is now we're all in this together. It's beyond a commercials, beyond sponsorship. Now it's helping the community. And we thank Fred and Johnny and Marianne and Michael himself for stepping up and serving the community in such a stellar fashion at Michael's of Brooklyn. Piscopo in the morning. It's 9:34. We're going to talk to Jack Carr, 20-year Navy SEAL. And we're going to bring Jack to the airwaves coming up momentarily. Let's go to Big Al Gattulo standing by with the headline news right here on AM 970, The Answer.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
40 degrees at 9:35. I'm Al Gattulo with local news first. Here's what's going on. The Dow has opened and is up about 2.25%, about 540 points in early trading. The New Jersey Performing Arts Center is offering concerts online since the audience can't attend in person. Organizers say NJPAC In Your Living Room attempts to bring the magic of live performances to those quarantined because of coronavirus. Officials say live performances, as well as a curated collection of past performances, will be available on NJPAC's website. The annual Cherry Blossom Festival at the Brooklyn Botanic Garden is not going on this year. The festival, a tradition since 1982 that drew 70,000 people over one weekend, was canceled, of course, due to the coronavirus outbreak. People can still view the garden's 214 cherry trees with photos posted to the garden's website. In addition, videos from past festivals will be posted on April 25th and April 26th, the weekend the festival was supposed to take place. Stuck in traffic? Debbie Duhame's got the answer.
Good morning, Al. Thanks a lot. Let's go out to the Staten Island Expressway eastbound. You're slowing down by Highland Boulevard. It's construction taking two lanes over there. You're slowing down on the Van Wyck northbound ramp to the Grand Central right at Kew Gardens. It's more road work. They just cleaned up an accident on the LIE eastbound at Casino Boulevard. Now we're getting reports of an accident as you take it over to the Grand Central Parkway. Grand Central Parkway eastbound right at the LIE. An accident there as well. Watch out for some stop-and-go traffic on 95 southbound exit 17 getting down through Westport. That's some ongoing construction. Alternate side parking rules suspended. Metered rules in effect. The MTA Essential Subway Plan, that remains in effect as well. And if you're heading out to Motor Parkway into Hop Hog, getting out toward the area of Old Nichols Road, it's an accident there as well. Partly cloudy today, high of 52. You now know where not to go. I'm Debbie Duhame with Joe Piscopo, AM 970, The Answer.
Sponsored by Associated Press. Original, unbiased, fact-based. That's what you get from Ground Game, the latest podcast from the Associated Press. Hosted by AP's Washington Bureau Chief Julie Pace, Ground Game discusses election strategy with newsmakers all through the primary season. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Valerie Smaldone. I have a show that gives you a break from politics because it's something completely different. It's a show like no other in New York. A show about theater and food, nightlife, and the city. It's called Bagels and Broadway, and it airs every Saturday morning from 9 to 10. Conversations with celebrities and producers, chefs and food innovators, and the fascinating people behind the scenes. You can listen on the radio, online, Alexa, and podcast. Bagels and Broadway with Valerie Smaldone, Saturday mornings at 9.
Visited New York Truck Stop Radio lately? We're open and here for you, especially in these uncertain times. Join Arthur and Zach Miller and guests as they discuss transportation, commerce, and the bottom line. Saturday afternoons at 1 on AM 970, The Answer. Nobody told me there'd be these like these. Be part of an extraordinary adventure to Israel this year. You're invited to the Stand With Israel tour with Dr. Sebastian Gorka and Mike Lindell this December. Join AM 970 The Answer for a 10-day all-inclusive expedition into Israel's fascinating history, dynamic diversity, and significant future. Experience Jerusalem, modern Tel Aviv, Masada, and so much more, all in the comfort of first-class accommodations. Register today for the Stand With Israel tour with Dr. Sebastian Gorka and Mike Lindell. Visit AM970TheAnswer.com.
Listen to AM970 The Answer on Alexa, TuneIn, iHeart, or Radio.com.
Hey, it's Joe on the radio telling you about Rhino Shield. Now is the time to get your home Rhino Shielded. I'm telling you, it's perfect time. I'm going to tell you a great deal you can get, and I'm going to tell you how great Rhino Shield is. A ceramic coating that seals your house or your commercial building. It's just like paint and has a 25-year guarantee. Susan at Rhino Shield will offer you 15% off the final price for any job signed in the month of April, no matter when you want the job started. Even though New York has a construction ban for the next 30 days or so, Susan has a great deal for you to consider. 15% off the final price. No payments. She's offering no payments and no interest financing for an entire year. I'm telling you. So here's what you got to do. What I did, if I may. You call 877-744-6608. You call and then they will have someone come out. You won't even know the person is there. They'll check your home out. Then Susan will email you a picture of your house in any color that you choose. And it's so much fun with the kids. And you want something to do in quarantine? This is it. Call Susan at Rhino Shield. Even if you're thinking about your business, you're thinking about your home, it's your biggest investment. And I'm telling you, it's the best thing I've done for the house. And you're always doing something at the house, right? You make the investment in Rhino Shield with this great deal that Susan has for you, and you have a 25-year guarantee. You're going to love it. Plus, it's fun that you're locked up because the kids will love what color the house should be in, and it's a great project to get started now, while Susan has this great deal, offering no payments, no interest financing for 1 year, and 15% off the final price on any job signed in the month of April, no matter when you want the job started. 877-744-6608. Rhino Shield. It's not paint.
Dan Proft. Coming up tonight at 9 on AM 970. The Answer.
Hey, it's Joe on the radio. 9:40, 20 minutes before 10 o'clock. Mike Gallagher coming up at 10:05 on AM 970. The Answer. Jack Carr is a 20-year Navy SEAL sniper veteran, author of that great book, Savage Son, which is out this week. Hey, Jack Carr, welcome to the show, my brother. How you doing?
I am great. How are you doing? It's great to talk to you.
Yeah, you too, indeed. And you, I mean, you're a Navy SEAL, so this is, you know, you're used to the toughest of times. But is everybody in your family okay? You guys holding up okay, Jack?
Everybody's okay. My wife's about to lose it, locked up with the kids like this. But no, we're great. We live in the mountains. We can get outside, and the kids are all trying to quote unquote help me launch this novel and write my next one. And as you can imagine, they're not that helpful.
Savage Son from Jack Carr. We appreciate it, Jack. And thanks for your stellar service to the United States, my friend. You know, Jack, you had this terrific column in Town Hall in which you talk about how our enemies are watching us in the midst of this crisis. First of all, thank you, because I'm telling you what, the world is on its knees because of the communists. What exactly are our enemies watching for, Jack Carr?
Right. So they've been watching us in Iraq and Afghanistan for the last almost 20 years now. And they've been taking notes. They've been seeing, hey, what worked against us? What didn't work against us? They've been taking those lessons and then incorporating them into future battle plans. And when I talk about state actors, I mean countries like China, Russia, Iran, North Korea primarily. And when I talk about non-state actors, what I'm talking about are terrorist organizations, proxy groups for those state actors, and those sorts of people. So what they're doing now is seeing our economy just spiral out of control, and they're seeing what did that. They're seeing our response to a virus. Now, that this our economy has taken a hit, the likes of which the Soviets tried to do for 40-plus years,
and
could never accomplish, yet this virus did it in a matter of weeks. So they're seeing that, and they're incorporating that into their future plans.
And what can we do in the midst of this crisis, not only in dealing with it, but to exude strength internationally? Like, you know what, Jack, I loved is when the president walked out with General Milley and everybody, and they said it was for, like, narco-terrorism and all the drugs, but something tells me it was more than that. It was President Trump saying, hey, we're locked and we're loaded. Am I wrong when I assume that?
No, I don't think so. I think it's important to show that we haven't completely lost all our elements of national power, that they are still focused where they need to be on those other threats. So the things we can learn from this, of course, it's more than that. It's more than learning. It's applying those lessons going forward. And I am more confident in the citizens of the United States doing that at what we call the tactical level, so doing that as individuals, as families, as communities, than I am of the federal government actually taking notes and then applying those lessons going forward, whether it's to something like this, a pandemic, or it's a terrorist attack, or it's something like a natural disaster, or a combination of those things. The most important part, the most important thing we can learn is to apply the lessons moving forward so we don't learn all these lessons again.
And we're going to talk about Savage Son. Everybody is talking about this new novel from Jack Carr. I want to talk about it in a second. Hey, Jack, I got to ask you, man, with respect to your military service and to the great patriot that you are. So you got somebody in your sights, man. Was it up to you to pull that trigger, or did you hear somebody saying, all right, go for it? You had to make the final decision, yes?
That's right. So as a sniper, not just as a sniper, but as anybody that's doing maybe a compound assault or whatever it is, you're the last decision maker. If you're the guy that as you're entering that room that's deciding whether someone lives or dies, there's nobody telling you in your ear over the radio, you are the last decision maker. You're essentially that last element of national power that starts up with the commander-in-chief and works its way all the way down to kicking in that door or being in that sniper hide site and having somebody in your sight. So nobody's telling you when to shoot or when not to shoot. That is all up to that 18, 19, 20, up to, you know, 40-year-old person and everything in between. You're that last decision maker in the chain.
There's an instinct that comes about you when you're in war. Is that what happens, Jack? You just have a sixth sense kind of thing?
Well, the sixth sense is a part of, I think, of all of us, because we all come from the same places. It's more about doing the job when you're over there. You train up for it. You focused on it. You're there. Your buddies are to your right and left. Your best friends in the world. You have a mission that you're solely focused on without distraction, and you're there to do the job. And a lot of that time, the job gets a little violent, and you have to adapt on the fly because the enemy is always adapting to you. It's a good 20-year run. But I'll tell you what, it's nice to be out taking care of my family now and weaving some of these experiences into the pages of fictional thrillers.
Yeah, this is the book is Savage Son, I'm going to get to in a second, because you talk about bioweapons. In your column, you talked about the weaponization of infectious diseases, and they're nothing new, and it goes all the way back to Frederick, the first poisoning Italian wells back in 1155. From your research, do you think that this coronavirus was intentionally created, Jack?
So my research is for the fourth novel, which is based on the infectious diseases and then weaponization of those diseases. So it's been part of human history for a long time, trying to do that, testing those things out. And then I focused mine more on the modern era. So what the Japanese did prior to World War II, what they did during World War II to the Chinese and all that research, then the Soviet weapon program up from the end of World War II to the collapse. And then where all that information went, and then our bioweapons program from the end of World War II up until today. So there are instances in the Soviet Union where infectious diseases did escape their bioweapon containment facilities and kill people. So it's not without precedent. I would say one of the most important parts of weaponizing an infectious disease is that it burns out, meaning it doesn't turn into a pandemic and come back to get the country that launched it. So that's the only thing that makes me think that it is not something that was intentionally done, because you want to target a city, a country, something like that, and you don't want to have it go outside those borders and turn into a global pandemic and kill you and your own people. So because it's turned into a pandemic, it makes me think that it probably wasn't, but of course I don't have access to any of the intelligence that some of our senior level leaders do. It is entirely possible that it's due to sloppy practices or someone getting infected in a bioweapon facility in China that it did make it out. I think that's highly probable. But once again, I don't have any other information than anything other than anyone else to look at.
Thanks. That invaluable information. Thank you, Jack. So tell us about Savage Son, man. People are, you know, we're locked up. We're looking for good books to read. Tell us about Savage Son. Just came out a couple days ago.
That's right. So this is the one I've been wanting to write since the sixth grade when I first read The Most Dangerous Game, which is a short story by Richard Connell written in 1924. And I knew that one day I'd always write a thriller that paid tribute to that short story, exploring the dark side of man through the dynamic of hunter and hunted. So it's a series. It's the third in a series. The first is The Terminal List, which is a story of revenge without constraint. It stars a Navy SEAL sniper with a background similar to mine. Then it moves on into the second novel, A True Believer, into a novel of violent redemption, because he's on a journey, needs to learn to live again, find his next mission, find his next purpose, just like we all do when we have transitions in life. And then that got the character to a point where I could finally explore the themes I've wanted to explore since the sixth grade, and that's Savage Son. So action takes place mostly between Montana and just south of Siberia, in a place called Kamchatka Peninsula, where I went to do some research, which was an interesting trip. And people are loving it. It's really resonating. It's 100% fiction, but it's really resonating with people, I think, because I take those emotions, those feelings behind events I was involved with in Iraq and Afghanistan, and I take them and I apply them to a fictional narrative. So the feelings that the protagonist is experiencing feel authentic because they come from a real place.
Yeah. It's just, where did you have to go? Where did you go to do research, you said?
Kamchatka Peninsula, which is just south of Siberia. And I went over there to try to get the local feel. Yeah, so it was great. And for the other novel, I'd gone to Africa, and I couldn't get people to stop talking to me in Africa about their country, the politics, Chinese influence, and mining operations, legal and illegal. They all wanted to tell me the story of their families and their countries, and I thought it would be the same in Russia. So when I went over to just south of Siberia, I thought everyone was going to want to talk to me about their past and their country and all that, and then I realized very quickly that for most of Russian history, if someone's asking you pointed questions, the type of which you would ask if you're writing a political thriller like this, you weren't long for this earth. You were off to the gulag, it was off with your head, whatever it was. So they were very hesitant to talk to me, but I eventually got to open up and I got to weave some of that local flavor into the pages of Savage Son.
That's great. Savage Son just came out, and it's technically fiction, but you put a lot of your own real life experience in there, you're saying, correct?
I do. You're mostly the feelings and emotions behind certain events. Which is why I think it rings so true and why it got noticed by Simon & Schuster and why it's resonating with readers. And then I take, you know, there's a couple of bad guys in there that are people that maybe perhaps I don't like very much in real life. So you take some of their traits and it ends up being a very therapeutic process.
This is great, man. You got to read Savage Son is the name of the book by Jack Carr. Hey, Jack, fascinating. Thanks for your service, man. Thanks for your military insight. You're a true patriot, and it's an honor to have you on the show. And we're going to have everybody check out Savage Son. You could just download that while you're in quarantine here. But you got to come back again, Jack. Love talking to you, my friend.
Thank you so much, and be safe out there. Take care.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Jack Carr right there. The book is Savage Son, out this week. You don't want to miss it. Hey, 9:51 with Joe on the radio. Debbie's looking out for you all morning long on AM 970 The Answer. Hiya, Debbie.
Hiya, Joe. Thank you so much. And let's see what's happening as our essential workers get out there and go to work. Let's see what's happening on the Staten Island Expressway. It's kind of busy, Joe. Eastbound right into Highland Boulevard. It's construction blocking a couple of lanes. That should be out there till about 3 o'clock this afternoon. Getting reports of an accident as well on the westbound Staten Island Expressway right past the Verrazano Bridge. Northbound Van Wyck, that ramp to the Grand Central, construction going on over there. That should be cleared by 4 this afternoon. And on the Grand Central Parkway eastbound, right at the LIE, that looks like you have an accident there as well. Looks like some emergency activity at the scene. Motor Parkway getting out toward Old Nichols Road in toward Hop Hog. That's an accident. Garden State Parkway South 151, they're just cleaning up a collision there. And the Merritt Parkway in both directions between exit 42 and 44, Fairfield through Westport, ongoing road work. You now know where not to go. I'm Debbie Duhaime with Joe Piscopo, AM 970, The Answer.
Dr. Zev Zelenko told Kevin McCullough his success rate with chloroquine.
Here are my outcomes. Zero people dead. I would have had 17 dead patients and a multiple of that on a respirator.
Right.
Dr. William Grace told Kevin, doctors see President Trump doing the right thing.
Real doctors working on the truly sick are thankful that he's made this option available.
That's right. He's done all the right things.
Kevin McCullough Radio on the front lines. Weeknights at 5 on AM 970 The Answer with special airings Wednesdays at 4.
Now with Justice Neil Gorsuch, a member of the U.S. Supreme Court, what has his influence been? Has the court been more or less partisan? This weekend on Champions of Justice, Tom Girardi talks with James Zirin, the author of Supremely Partisan, a look at the court's history all the way back to 1803 and future politics. Tune in, Champions of Justice, Sunday mornings at 10 here on AM 970 The Answer.
You know, Michael's of Brooklyn is one of the five best Italian restaurants in the nation. Well, they're open for takeout, curbside, or delivery. Check out the menu at michaelsofbrooklyn.com. Prepared foods are also available at Michael's Pastry Shop. And don't forget their delicious, authentic sauce available online and in stores. You can still have quality Italian food during this difficult time. Call 718-998-7851. 718-998-7851.
This is Dennis Prager and my friends. They're at it again. The left is doing its best to silence ideas it doesn't like. Hollywood does not want you to see my film, No Safe Spaces, which is why you won't see it on Netflix or Amazon Prime. But now you can watch No Safe Spaces for a limited time at nosafespaces.com. It's time to fight back and protect freedom in America. See No Safe Spaces. It is a great film starring me and Adam Carolla. Go to nosafespaces.com.
Here's your AM 970 weather answer forecast.
Some early morning sunshine will give way to clouds today. Look for a bit of rain toward evening, the high near 50, then intermittent rain and drizzle tonight, low 40 to 44. Tomorrow, some leftover rain and drizzle in the morning, then clouds will break for some sun in the afternoon. It'll be quite breezy and chilly tomorrow, the high again only 50. For Sunday, sunshine to start, but increasing clouds, breezy and milder in the afternoon with a high of 63. AM 970, The Answer.
Hi, it's Joe attention. On the radio. No, we got this. 877-970-2999. I'll try to grab a call if I can, but we're going into weather. And I just wanted to tell you right now about Mike Connors. Because you worry at this time how you could take care of your family, right? And you worry about, you know what, do you look at yourself, what have you accomplished while you're quarantined? You know, and the rest of the family's in the other room and you're by yourself. What have I done? How have I taken care of the family? You think about that? I guess when you get old like I am, you think about that stuff. That's why I went to Mike Connors. That's why I went to Connors and Sullivan, because they are there for you. And Mike is there for you. And that's when my son said, Dad, you got to go talk to Mike Connors at Connors and Sullivan. And we went over, we talked, and I'm telling you, he walked me right through it. You got to go to ConnorsandSullivan.com, ConnorsandSullivan.com. And they, if you worry about a will, you worry about a trust, you worry about a healthcare proxy, who are you going to pay? How are you going to pay? Are you eligible for anything? These are a lot of things that you have to worry about. You know what? Put that all. Don't even think about it. You just got to go to ConnorsandSullivan.com and you will be able to have Mike himself tell you about everything you need to know. You know what's interesting too about, I love the Connors. I love them as a people. And they got me actually this great picture of the Padre Pio, the priest. They got the priest, they did Father Paul Bilecki did a whole beautiful, beautiful portrait of that. So we love Mike and we love Beth over at Connors and Sullivan, and they're standing by for you to help you out with anything that you got. Because what I did, I went over there, and I'm telling you what, right now, everything, all of it, all the weight's off my shoulders. So go to ConnorsandSullivan.com, ConnorsandSullivan.com, and Mike is there, and he's ready to answer any questions that you have. Again, it's ConnorsandSullivan.com.
Mike Gallagher is next on AM 970, The Answer.
Hey, it's Joe on the radio on AM 970, The Answer. I'm looking, yeah, it's just so funny. I am so sick of Comcast. I am so sick of all the inferior communication things that we have in America.
What did the president call Comcast? He ripped him last week.
Comcast. Yeah, yeah, and he's right. The president's right. Every time I'm looking, you're sending me stuff to read. You're sending me stuff to look at. And it goes away on its own. The internet just dies and it comes back. That's my fault.
I pull it back if you don't,
No, I don't think so. But I know.
But what about switching companies, Joe?
Yeah, because he can't get anything else out of my neck of the woods.
Because the FBI can't find him. You think the internet can?
Not only that, no. You go to you need an upgrade. I've had 10 upgrades. We've had the engineers come out. I'm telling you, keep everything. I'm telling you, it's probably made in China, all the stuff that they're using. Can I blame China on this one, Frank? Can I do that?
Give it a shot.
Give it a shot. Frankie, thanks for a great show. I see the phone calls. I apologize. I'll get to you Monday. Will you call back on Monday, please? We appreciate that. Great week of shows, Frankie. Thanks for the essential service. Murano in the morning on Sundays, followed by the great John Cassavetes as well. Al Gattulo, BeerCast, Sundays, 11 o'clock. Debbie Duhaime, always. Hey, make it a great weekend. Thank you for listening. I love you. Make it the best weekend because you...